people who love them.
Hello, this is The Thing About Cars. We're recording again from the beautiful city of Atlanta, Georgia, in the very nice facility of Strongbox West here on the western side of town, and still have a full table of wonderful people in front of us. So let's go around and do quick introductions.
Ben.
Frank.
Eric.
Becca.
Rob.
And I'm Mickey. I want to start off this episode. We've got a couple things we want to talk about. Ben has a friend with some malfunctioning door locks, and we may bang around that issue for a while and see what's going on with the door locks there. I have a small sort of a rant about wiper blades. But before we get into that, I do want to ask Eric, what's his history in the automotive world? You've been working around cars for a long time.
About 17 years old in high school. Yeah. One of the guys I went to school with, his dad had a shop. I was interested, so started working there. Did about a year, then went to Gwinnett Tech on the Chrysler Apprenticeship Program.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Buckhead, Chrysler Plymouth. It was just at that time becoming Jeep.
I remember that place.
It was all going under shameless plugs.
Well, that shop's long gone. At that location, from 94 till they closed, a handful of us started an independent. Some things didn't go the way they should. Moved across the street, so I was now in competition to them with another company I was with for 8 years, European Repairs. And just a couple months ago, found apparently the place I'm supposed to retire from. And it's interesting.
So give them the plug then.
Yes, I was going to say, Auto Europe, they specialize in Porsche, Mercedes, BMW.
Okay.
And one of the guys there, an older guy, that's one of the owners, it is amazing to watch him work building an air-cooled motor when somebody knows what they're doing. It's art. I mean, he knows that motor inside and out, and watching somebody time something that has almost infinite timing adjustments.
Yeah.
He's but not a mechanic, he's an artist.
Yes, he got that engine balanced left bank to right bank exactly perfect.
So you're a repair shop?
Yes.
Customizations?
No, we try to stick to factory stuff only.
Mm-hmm.
Just, they do, like again, the air-cooled stuff, they can build the motor if you need bottom-end torque or if you need top-end power, if you're doing track days or if you're doing road rally, or they can put it to just a bone-stock, 100% reliable, what it was then. And other than that, the BMW and Mercedes aspect, it's mostly just maintenance repair stuff. So,
do you specialize in anything special, like suspensions or engines or drivetrains or air conditioning or
yes,
everything?
Yeah.
All the above?
Yeah, the last shop, it was anything European. So Volkswagen, Audi, Jag, Rover, all the things I don't miss at this new shop. They gave me the option, and I can bring in Volkswagen, or not even Volkswagen, Audis, that some of their customers have if I choose to work on
certain
problems.
See, you should have brought in Holden, I'm just saying.
what's your favorite thing to work on, and why?
Oh, God.
Don't forget you have your own vehicles to choose from.
Yeah. It's usually, what's your favorite car? It's the one I'm not working on.
That's the thing.
It depends on what I'm doing. Honestly, it's so weird right now. I'm in a really strange place in my life because I am not miserable at work. I actually look forward to going in the morning. So it's just being in that shop's fun again. So it's hard to answer that question.
Because you're looking forward to all of it.
Yeah. There's nothing I've gone in there and done and not actually had a good time doing it for 2 months. I know it's still a honeymoon phase, but
that's okay.
Yeah. No, it's the air cools I'm not getting into. I've fiddled little things here and there on them, but that's a whole new breed that I have to learn a lot about. They got two guys that handle them. Drew's learning really well on that stuff. Martin is the owner that knows it, and it's great when he goes over to the shelves and pulls out the old books and sits down and reads.
I miss that.
I've had the pleasure of meeting the people down there, and they're all great people. Laid back, sense of humor. Cool. They have great theories for lunch. They actually have lunch breaks. Not only do they have lunch breaks, which a lot of people I know that work on cars, it's eat standing underneath the car, whatever. They actually stop work.
Oh, we have a picnic table with a tree, potted plant tree beside it that
they stop.
I didn't eat lunch for the last 5-6 years. I haven't eaten lunch.
Yeah.
I have my coffee in the morning, skip lunch, and I eat a big dinner.
Wow.
I am required to stop working for an hour and sit down. Even if I don't eat, I just take my bottle of water and I have to sit and join and have really inappropriate conversations.
Yes. They're funny to sit down and talk to, very nice people. But old school mentality of you stop work, you go to lunch, you take a break.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's great. I think that's a great
way. Is boss German?
No, he's Cuban. He's the funniest man I've ever met in my entire life.
I worked for a German who was kind of like that. He says, no, we are all going to lunch at this time.
Yeah. Well, he gets hungry and he gets shaky and he assumes that everybody has that problem, so everybody has to eat.
I just like the mentality. Yeah. Just stop. Just take a break.
Yeah. That does a lot for company culture. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no, these guys, they're a family. It's not a company. It's just, yeah. So, been doing a little bit of everything for a long time.
And excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we have only a couple small topics on the board today.
Well, wait, hang on. Before we get too far away, I did want to mention for people who have listened to our previous podcast, this is the Eric I've been trying to get in here. he actually had his own podcast title at one point. Just trying to get him in. So he's here.
We're so glad that happened.
Finally. Yes. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, yeah. No, and we should definitely do more of this. I mean, this what most people don't know is that when we get together to record episodes, we sit down in Strongbox West or wherever, and we hammer out multiple episodes in a day and then release them periodically over time. It's just a little easier to do the productions that way. That leaves us at a small disadvantage with time sometimes. So, like, if someone were to say, hey, I have a car show that's happening this weekend, that may never actually hit the air because it may take us more than a week to get the episode out. And that's partly my own fault, and I'm getting better at that. But having said that, these episodes that we've done have all been recorded on one day, and we'll release them slowly over the next 4 or 5 weeks. A little peek behind the scenes there. We've got two things on the board.
Behind the curtain.
Behind the curtain. Two things on the board. One is Ben had a friend with a door lock problem. Let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah, I don't remember what the car was. I think it was a Honda van or something, but the point was electric door locks, mm-hmm. and they were not working all the time. And then another person, this was all in a Facebook discussion, another person said, well, I've got the opposite problem.
They work too much?
I'm not really exactly, I don't recall. But
well, they were automatically activating on their own without any user input.
Yeah, I think that may have been it, yeah. But the upshot is problems with electric door locks.
Right.
Yeah.
So one person couldn't get their locks to work at all, and the other person, they would sit there and watch their doors lock and unlock on their own.
I think so, yeah.
And if they're watching it, is there a problem with the button on the key fob? I'm serious. Like, yeah. If it's being held down, have you ever sat on a remote control and wondered why your TV is going crazy?
And then there are the intermittent ones as well, like on my wife's car. It's a 07 Mazda. The front passenger side door lock was sometimes refusing to lock when all the rest of them did. But now it's been fine for a few months.
So how then do you properly diagnose and fix a door lock that's just opening and closing on its own?
Well, this is one exciting subject here.
Yes, it is. A lot of the new cars, especially European stuff, you don't actually do anything when you push a button. You request a computer to do something.
Right.
So it's a lot of sitting down, watching, reading diagrams, and hoping you're... scan tool has enough information in there that you can actually watch what's happening when. But also the door jamb is the worst place in the car because that is the wire that bends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's that part of it. And the plastic little gears inside that door lock. They're all the same cheap parts, just like the window regulators, the cheap piece of plastic breaks and your window drops. It's, so many weak links.
Yep. Well, my mom had a different problem with hers. She said when I, lock all the doors, and she's using her old key fob, the driver's door makes this squealing noise when it locks. I said, but it locks, right? She said, yeah. And it unlocks when you want it to, right? She said, yeah. I said, then don't worry about it. It's an old car. It's not worth the money to try to fix that.
Right.
And she's fine with it now that I've told her that.
Has she tried something like, what is that? White lightning grease? What am I thinking of?
White lithium?
Thank you.
Well,
I think mine has a lightning bolt on the front.
That would have to be me taking her door apart sometime when I'm visiting when she lives in another state.
So there isn't a whole lot behind when you take the soldier out? Or is it just one of those cars where they're...
The lock button.
It's the thing that goes up and down is called a lock soldier.
I've never heard that term.
Where
did I call it that?
Maybe it's a Mustang only thing.
But yeah, a lot of cars don't use this anymore. They all used to. But no, hers has a little thing that does like that, right? Or people listening can't see my...
Oh, by the door handle you've got with the
little tab that flips in and out. Yeah, above the
latch button
handle, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have to take her door apart and squirt something in there, and that's just, I don't think it's worth the trouble. The thing works.
Things like that that will get her to buy a new car.
Well, at her age, I don't think it's happening, but...
Get something nice and used for her.
She's in it. Well...
Maybe a 60s-era Lotus.
See if you can have some.
That would be cool, but... No, she's in her 80s, and this thing is easy to get in and out of, you know. It works for her. She'll keep it.
Cool.
I miss the Audi pneumatic door locks from the early 80s.
Now that was Mercedes did that.
Audi did it.
Did they too? Oh, God.
Rolls-Royce had pneumatic everything at one point, the idea being that in such a fine luxury car, one should never hear a switch click.
What?
There you go. Yeah. I would buy into that.
Yeah. So everything on the dashboard was a pneumatic valve that then powered a switch located on the other side of the firewall somewhere.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
See, your older car starts wheezing a lot.
Right.
But the great thing about the Audi locks, at least I don't recall if the Mercedes did that, they didn't all go at once. They went sequentially.
Oh.
So if you had a four-door ka-chonk or kapoosh.
Probably there's a wheel turning in there that's making the air move.
I think it was all one circuit, and it had to reach the amount of vacuum. So drew one close, and then another, it switches over. But, you know, that's not the sort of thing you want when you have an emergency lock situation. If you're driving downtown in a bad area at night, and there's a scary looking guy. Give me a minute. Let me lock my doors. Count to 45 before you try to break
check
in.
Check the doors in a clockwise rotation. So.
Right. There you go.
Just like stick an emergency blow tube under the dashboard.
They should have like a plug-in to inflate your tires, or at least to suck the air out of your tires.
Exactly.
Well, my old VW Beetle, its windscreen washer was powered by the spare tire's air pressure.
Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I thought we determined this was a windshield.
Thank you.
Windscreens have holes.
Bite me.
Thank God I don't have to bite him. Now you have to bite
The Barracuda's him. Has got a cool one. It's got a manual bellows pump for your left foot for the washer.
Interesting.
Yeah. Actually, the funny part is looking for rebuild kits. Mm-hmm. Porsche, Mercedes, all these companies had manual bellows washer pumps back in the day.
Huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
all right. Speaking of washers, the last actual topic that we wrote up on the board for today was wiper blades, and I had a small rant about that. It's every time I go in to change my wiper blades, I can no longer just walk into an auto parts store and buy the blades. They have to sell me an entire arm setup. And according to you guys, maybe I'm looking in the wrong place, but...
Well, when you say arm setup, though, are you talking about the wiper blade with the backing that attaches to the arm?
No.
I'm talking about the insert, the rubber strip, the two pieces of metal down the side, insert.
But you know you've got the arm, and then you've got the hard backing to the blade, and then you've got the blade itself. He wants to find the refill, but he's saying the arm.
No. I may be using the term incorrectly.
So I'm saying that it's not the arm that you're finding, but you're finding a full...
Just for the rubber replacement?
Just the rubber replacement. Just the thing that I thought was called the blade.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's the same thing.
Why would you want
theoretically, they should be cheaper, but they're not these days.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, okay, now I have to replace that entire whole harness.
But that's a spring-loaded arm that wears out that you want to replace.
No, he means just the part that attaches to the spring-loaded arm.
That's what I'm saying. No, that arm back there has most of them now.
Ben, just to clarify a little bit, you're not when you do this replacement, you're not detaching it from the pivot point on the body of the car, are you?
No.
No, he's talking about the J-hook right here, the framework that holds the rubber. He wants just the rubber.
Just the rubber.
Right. And
the
rubber I'm clarifying that it wasn't the arm because the arm is the part that is attached to
the rubber
to
plus
the
those little grippers behind it. Yeah. It's a whole assembly that sticks on that J.
Yeah. So when I had my Civic many, many years ago, I was able to go to the store and just buy the little rubber insert.
Yes.
And slide out the old one and slide in the new one, leading it into each individual holding point on that spring-loaded arm. Mm-hmm. And it never failed. It never worked improperly, and I was able to cheaply get two pieces of rubber to do the job with. Now I can't do that anymore.
Well, because those were $3.
Yes.
And now a whole new arm, if you just buy the cheaper Chinese store brand one, is $3.
No. They're more expensive now.
You're going to the wrong
store. Yeah.
I went to Rock Auto, and Rock Auto to get a decent blade, because Rock Auto does this good job of grading.
You pay for shipping?
$7 to $9.
No, I ordered a bunch of stuff from them anyway, and they didn't get free shipping. But even then, a decent setup with a blade in it was more than like $15 a piece. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
You're saying I can get Bosch Evolutions for $7-$8 each.
Yeah. That.
That to me is one of the best wiper blades I've ever put on a vehicle.
Where do you get them?
Worldpac.
Exactly.
If you want to buy cheap, you go see my friend Eric. One of my problems again with the GA, the adapter piece that attaches whatever we've agreed upon is the hard part with the blade to the arm. There's only two brands that will fit onto this, and I believe Rain-X is one of them, and I'm trying to remember the other brand. I have not been happy with them, but I've been doing things like rubber conditioner to help with the gliding, and it's helped a lot.
Beyonce actually wipes her blades down with Rain-X, the fluid.
Mm-hmm.
But Derek is having a visceral reaction to Rain-X a minute ago.
And the guy next to him named Eric.
What did I say?
Derek.
Oh, I said Eric.
That's okay. Yeah, Rain-X, I'd heard bad things about him, and I thought that was all that was available one day, and mine had gone too far. and yeah, they were just as bad as people had told me.
Well, they started out good. When they first came out, I tried some, and they were awesome.
But?
And then everything thereafter for however many years have sucked.
And I don't know what the best wiper blades ever. When I was at the dealership, the parts manager had a set of neon blades. It was after Daimler had gotten hold there. And so it was a Mercedes part because it had the little dot that turned green when they got worn out. And he gave them to me because nobody was ever, they'd sat on the shelf for years. Mm-hmm. And I had a neon. Just take them. I don't want to look at them anymore. Those blades lasted for years.
Wow.
No chatter, no streak. The green dot changed in 6 months. Some maybe just left them on. Those, I don't know who made them, Ford, Mercedes, Ford, Chrysler. But the technology is there that you can make a wiper blade last for 4 years, apparently.
They had to be Valeo or Bosch.
That's what I
see. Yeah.
There was a single.
Mickey, what's this going on? What kind of car do you need these wiper blades for? Well, I'll go home with a to do this. We'll go home and see where we can get you wiper blades.
I changed them, but I'm like, okay, if why can't an average person just go to an average store and buy the little insert without having to buy the entire spring loaded arm anymore? Yeah. Is it just too much of a headache to change that little thing?
Nobody wants to change that little thing. I remember the dealership when people requested just that. Just get a blade.
Yeah. It's time.
Yeah.
It is time. I got to admit, swapping out the whole thing is much quicker.
When you go to Walmart, you can do it in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Because your other blade is now torn and it's pouring rain. You know, it's a lot simpler. Just
that's why you find the parking deck, not the parking lot.
Rob is showing me this thing. Rob has pulled up on the internet something called a new card blade tool refurbishing cleaner. Something.
This is for rail cheapskates, where instead of replacing your blade, it's a little fixture with a razor blade that you slide down the edge of your old worn-out blade, and it shaves off the worn-out edge. This has been around forever.
Yeah.
They used to be like $25. I mean, why would you buy them? You just go buy new wiper blades. And now, thanks to the internet, they're
$3. And if you shave them out enough, then you can have a wiper arm put a nice scratch in your windshield. Oh, new rubber left there.
Right. Well, I mean, this has nothing to do with anything anymore, but I have the guy who changes my oil near me, his shop, I think it's part of their script to tell you that you need new wiper blades.
Yes.
Period. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just replaced them.
Kind of like Decro emissions.
Yeah.
You always need a cap and blades.
Yeah.
Make more money on wiper blades than they do on the oil change.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You've seen the plastic cover that some of the blades come with. I can't remember what brand. But it's a protective cover for shipping over the plastic, over the blade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of our customers found out when he did his own wipers, those are really important to take off. Because it ruined the windshield.
Oh, no. Frank was saying something about donuts, and I think we should close on that. So, yeah.
Well, you really need to take care of the guy that takes care of your car, right. Or a woman that takes care of your car.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. You're welcome. I've never in my life used to ever have anybody change my oil but myself. And, it was too expensive, or they didn't do a good job. And things changed about 20 years ago. I started going to a local Toyota dealer. I've been so pleased with their service. It's unbelievable. And I now bring them donuts. Every time I go there for an oil change, I bring them donuts. Enough for all the mechanics and the cashiers. No salespeople are allowed. And I got to tell you, the mechanics love it. When I come in and I take out two dozen donuts, And when they see the salesman come up, and the salesman goes to grab a donut, and I slap his hand. The mechanics think you are the best person in the world. And boy, you get some of the best service. It's unbelievable.
I tried that with my friend Max that the other Becca and I have frequently mentioned. But Max has pointed out that he's got a Dunkin' Donuts about 20 feet from his shop, so there's really no point in me bringing him any. He really does. You just walk to it.
Well, then you bring him a bottle of liquor, yeah.
Yes.
I don't want somebody drinking while working on my car.
Customers don't realize how much just a handwritten thank you note. I had one customer that was kind of almost seemed needy, but one day she came in with a funny noise, her and her significant other. Wanted to just talk and figure out it was a nail in the right front tire. So plugged it up, and just real quick, nice handwritten thank you note from the both of them. They became in the top 10 list of customers I like. Just people don't realize little things, just small gestures can get you above and beyond. That their car got in the shop before other cars when they needed something done, just because people don't realize how far something little can go.
Like, so
that's what she said.
It has raised the cost of my oil changes. I went there just the other day, and I bring my own oil. The dealer doesn't mind if I use my own oil, and I bring my own oil, save a little money, I buy it at Walmart.
Okay.
They only charge me $10 to change the oil.
Huh.
And I go, I'm going to crawl underneath the car and drain it and try to catch the oil and everything for $10? No way, I let them do it. But it's now costing me another $18
for the donuts.
But I'm looking at it the other way. They're allowing you to rent a Lyft for $10?
Well, no, I mean, their shop is still using it, so it's still their staff.
I know, technically,
the time on the Lyft is worth more than $10.
I would love to have a place where I can go borrow a Lyft, because especially like trying to work under it yesterday. Working like this.
Well, we talked about that before as a business model. It's like you can actually put together a business where you rent out slips for X number of hours a day to people. Mm-hmm. But
Dobbins does it.
Who?
Dobbins Air Force Base. They actually have a hobby shop. Lifts, tools, everything.
Do you really?
I
used to use it when my dad was in the Navy, so I'd go out there and work on my car.
You have to be enlisted, though.
Minor detail.
For Stephen King fans listening, that was a big part of the book, Christine.
I was going to say something about Darnell's.
Darnell's.
In that he distracted me with renting lifts. Yeah. Darnell's Garage. No.
Darnell's, you could rent lifts at. Tools.
That's where Christine lived at, because Arnie wasn't allowed to keep Christine in the driveway.
Exactly.
And she dirtied up the house.
And that's how the Car Talk guys got started in the auto repair business. They were running a facility where people could fix their own cars in somebody else's garage. They had lifts, they had tool chests, they had everything. And it failed because basically most of the customers were idiots.
What about liability claims? There would be massive waivers.
The one time when somebody's Lincoln fell off a lift, they knew that they probably shouldn't do that anymore.
But they need to have, remember I used to be in the insurance industry. You come in here at your own peril. All responsibility is yours.
Yeah. But all the waivers in the world don't stand up to bad things happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it was a different era back then, too. It was before the liability crisis.
I'm hoping somebody can figure out how to do away with the whole liability issue, and we can actually let DIY market have access to better tools. That would be kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But incredibly litigious society.
Well, okay, on that depressing note.
Happy note. Rob has unicorns on his cell phone.
I do.
And sparkles. And unicorns. What were you going to say?
And for those who can't see it, those sparkles are actually moving like they're in fluid.
It's in a fluid. They're suspended. This is fabulous. And you know what? This is absolutely happy. We should always end on a happy note. I love the phone.
There's more to the story. Even better. I know what my next phone case is.
What's that?
Disney Princesses. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. It's gold with Disney Princesses. So this used to be my stepdaughter's case off of her phone. Oh. And when she got a new case, I'm like, that's a perfect case that I need. So I took it. So as soon as she gets tired of her Disney Princesses phone case, I know.
This is the thing about cars. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We're recording at Strongbox West, as usual. You can find us at Facebook at The Thing About Cars. We have a Facebook page. Hopefully our website will be up before this episode comes to air. And that's thethingaboutcars.com. Please, if you can help us reach our fundraising goals and buy new microphones, we'd appreciate your help with that. Check out our Facebook page and our website for more information. And that's it. We hope you guys are doing well and are driving safe. And we will see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you, podcaster.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.